Heavenly Father, we come before you as we begin to hear your word. We pray for your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you are just with us. We pray for your spirit to stir now, God, to be mighty in your word, God, that it would be food for us. God, it would divide the soul, God. It would uproot sin. God, it would bring us awareness. It would remind us of the truth. It would cause us to submit. So I pray that your spirit would be effective in transforming us, Lord, by your word and spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in our series on the Beatitudes, or the Sermon on the Mount. And then we're in the chapter five, the Beatitudes. We're in the sixth Beatitude. We've been taking one beatitude at a time. So we're in the sixth beatitude. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, when we talk about purity, it conjures up all manners of, imagination. We have a sense of what it means to be pure. I think it means for many of us, and rightly so, it means unadulterated or uncontaminated, that it is without blemish. Sometimes we associate that with innocence. And so all of that, in the way that we understand it, even as David cries out to God, create in me a clean heart. What does that mean? When we cried out, when we sung that song, right? Create in me a clean heart. What is it that you were asking, right? And what was God getting at in this whole idea of purity? Why was there unclean foods? What was that, the whole point about cleanliness? And even now, cleanliness is the next to God or something like that. I mean, it's just, we associate that sometimes, and I think mistakenly, with innocence. Oh, and we really long for innocence. But is that really what God wants? Right? And because we have one idea of what it means to be pure. And so we want to just, okay, well, what is God getting at? Why does it require a pure heart to see God? And so let's dive into this. Okay, Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And the idea of this, okay, as we look at we're going to look at it in two parts. The first part is the how Scripture describes purity, or the idea of purification, as never losing sight of the greatest truth, because it equates to obedience. So to be pure is to be obedient to the truth. Well, when you're being obedient to the truth, it means being obedient to the truth in all kinds of different circumstances. So the first idea of being purified is to be obedient to the truth. And so let's take a look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Now, Peter is writing, so for many of us who's gone through this the series, Peter is writing to people who are suffering and are being oppressed. And tremendously. So he's writing to believers who are undergoing lots of suffering, conflict, oppression, and he's urging them, right? In this state, right? He's reminding them, right? Let's pick up what he's reminding. He says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth. So he's reminding us that we have been purified and continue to be purified by our commitment and our recommitment to the truth. And if you look at the Great Commission, it says, how we make disciples is what? By teaching them to what? Obey all that he has commanded. So the idea here is, when we say God created me a clean heart, what we're really singing is God created me an obedient heart. And I think Robert was talking about, it's so difficult, right? To be submissive. So purification is almost as like this humbling to to come under the law of God. And so, you know, let's pick up. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere, right? Another way to look at that is genuine, right? And so genuine brotherly love. So it's talking about, now it's categorizing this. The truth is being summarized and categorized for a sincere brotherly love. So all the bodies of truth that is leading, you know, whether it has to do with mercy, generosity, you know, forgiveness, you know, all these commandments of Christ, right, that we are to obey, that we've already looked at in the other Beatitudes, and it's saying for a sincere brotherly love. And then it goes on to clarify, says, love one another, right? So it's like our obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love. It says, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. So another way of rephrasing the obedience, how we are purified by obedience to the truth is by how we love one another from a pure heart, right? And so, and this idea of earnestly, we'll take a look at that since then finish the rest of the verse. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, though through the living and abiding word of God. So the word of God, you know, not only transformed us, it not only purified us, it continues to purify us through our submission and obedience to it. And so he says earnestly, right? Let's define that word. Okay. Ektonos is the word earnestly, and so we looked at this Loneida definition before. It's really the Greek dictionary. It says pertaining to an unceasing activity, normally involving a degree of intensity and or perseverance. Here's really, to love someone earnestly is to love without ceasing, continuously, and constantly. So it's not like, oh, okay, you know, I did the good deed and, you know, like, let's, but it's just, it's this earnest love. It's relentless. It's just the way God loves us. And this is the reason why we say commitment. Commitment isn't a one-time thing. Commitment means ongoing. And that's the whole idea of earnestly. So when we talk about commitment, we're saying, okay, well, commitment to love somebody is a commitment to do that intensely, because there are times when, you know, it's just, you know, we realize that our, you know, like normal love, you know, particularly when we come to like forgiveness or when we talk about turning away from wrath, I mean, it takes a degree of intensity, right? We have to ratchet it up. And so it's our commitment to be aware that there will be times of generosity when we have to reach deep, right? And so we do that continuously. All right, so let's like look at Galatians 5:13. So let's expound on this. For you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so the idea of our obedience to the truth, right, in how we purify ourselves to the obedience of the truth, is this idea again. Scripture is tying it back together again and again. It's like repetition. It's almost like, do we ever really study the Bible? I mean, did you ever really think the Bible was just really this repetitious? Is Henry really just trying to make this up? Or is this really what God is after? Is this why the Old Testament was the way it was? Let's dive in further. Romans 7:21 through 25 says, so I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind. Notice it says my mind. Now, but he's saying, so Paul is describing here in this headspace, right? In my internal mortal flesh, in my inner being, in this, there is my mind. He's now describing that there is his mind in this space. And making me captive to the law of sin, right, dwells in my members. So there's another law at work, right, in this headspace. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Well, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then I myself, notice how Paul, going back, when we talked about so often about who are you, right? Who are you? Well, you're a new creation, right? And if who you are is defined by, here's the thing, by what you want. That is why the Lord's Prayer, right? Jesus is calling us and commanding us, well, then pray like this, right? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and what? Thy will be done. The prayer itself is oriented, not that we want to change God's mind, right? In prayer, we're to change our mind. In the sense, we are to align, because that is the very definition of who we are. Kind of like what Robert talked about. God would never ask us to do anything that we don't want to do once we realize who we are. And so all the commandments of God, we want to be forgiving, we want to be generous, and we want to be earnestly loving. This is who we are. And so when we pray, we're praying, God, it's your will, your desire. That's what I want. I want what you want. That's the Lord's Prayer. And help me get there today. Because every day, right, there's going to be misalignment. So let's read. Let's continue to read. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with what? With my mind, but with my flesh, I serve the law of sin. There is a distinction here. It's like Paul's come to this awareness that in this headspace, there is this flesh that's serving a different law. It's the law of sin, right? And there is this myself. He has an identity. Paul has an identity. He now recognizes this voice. He understands, right, that there are these voices now in his mind or in his members, which is this headspace. And then he says, well, here's now my mind, myself. And he's now recognized, because how did he lead in all of this, right? He led in Romans 7:20, says, so I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is right, evil lies close at hand, right? So it's about what he wants. When he wants to do that, he realizes, wow, there's this other thing. Like when I want to forgive, right? When I want to move on, when I want to be generous, you're going to encounter a fight. And here's the thing. Now, in the Old Testament, why God says in Deuteronomy 8, chapter 8, why he had the Israelites leave Egypt and not go directly to the promised land, which would have taken a very short time, right? Not 40 years wandering in the wilderness. I can tell you that. The reason why God said he made them wander around in the wilderness so that they would know what was in their hearts, right? To bring them to self-awareness, right? Of this law of sin, right? So that they would understand that the law of God, which is the what? Rule of the kingdom. He's inviting them into this rule of the kingdom, but he wants them to understand the war that they are facing to come into to rule this law of the kingdom. And they are bringing their rules, their laws, and they want to now occupy God's kingdom with their with their rules. All right, so that's the dynamic here. So we now, I'm asking you, church, do you on a daily basis, do you ever question what you want and whether what law is serving the direction that you're going? Like, is what you want what God wants for you? Is what you want for your children what God wants for them? And what God wants for us is sometimes very different than what we want for ourselves, or at least we think what we want for ourselves. And so we rebel because we think we know better what we want for ourselves. You know, so when God wants for us to come into community, to love one another, to be committed and recommit to each other and to Him, right? To share and to be merciful and forgiving. When God is causing us to do that, and it's something inside, you know, it's almost like, you know, I didn't get enough sleep. And so, you know, like this past few days, you know, I was going through a prolonged fast. And I think during like the fourth, I forgot the fifth day. And I just, you know, I overreacted, you know, to something that, you know, a comment that Ellen had made. And I didn't know I overreacted. There was something at work in me. And then Ellen was like, hey, you know, you're fasting and you're overreacting. And I was like, it took a moment. It's like, okay, all right, that's what's going on. You know, like if you lack sleep or if you like, you know. Now, sometimes that's even more obvious when those things are going on, right? But if you don't catch that, you go with, well, it's because you said this and because you said that, you know, oh, you know, it's you. And you're not even getting that this fight, you're like, you're allies with the flesh and you're just going with it. Well, you're not pure. If you ally with the desires of the flesh, then you cannot see God. God is obstructed. Even if you are a believer, you're not going to be coming into an intimate fellowship with God if you align with the desires of the flesh. That's the point of the Beatitude. And that's why, you know, if you read Romans 6:12, which really was the preface to this whole thing, here's how Paul says it. Let not sin, therefore, reign. See, here's the kingdom talk. That headspace belongs to God and belongs to you who are one with God. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions, right? Align with the desires of the flesh, right? To lash out, to be unkind because it thinks it's right, right? Not to be gentle. Those are things that are, as we'll talk about that later. So do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. If you go with it, here's the thing. When you go with it, you're never going to think that you're wrong. It feels so right to be unkind. It feels so right to be so ungenerous. You're going to feel so right as to be unforgiving. You're going to be so right. You're going to feel so right. It's going to feel right because you're obeying the law of sin. So in a sense, you are right because you're obedient to the law of sin. You're going to feel righteous. Well, not you, but the flesh. It's taken over, right? It's reigning now, right? So that's what self-righteousness is. You are obedient to the law. Well, it's just not God's law. If you break the law of God to feel righteous, what do you think is going on right now, both on the right and the left? They both feel so righteous in being so unkind, so violent, so quarrelsome, and feeling so righteous. That's the epitome of self-righteousness and sin, and you cannot see God on either side of the aisle. And so when you are arguing, right, even in marriage or, you know, fighting with your children, and you are standing on something that's so right and it gives you license to break the law of God, you are not pure. You can never justify that. And hence you now break fellowship with God. So do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Again, there's this identity talk now, right? Present yourself as if someone who's actually a new being, right? And your members to God as instruments for righteousness, right? And here's the amazing thing. For sin will have no dominion over you. You know who rules in that headspace? God. And you, because you co-reign with him. That means the flesh and all the voices, right, that contribute to the igniting of the flesh, right, the enemy. Because if you think about it, in that headspace, there's the new you, there's the Holy Spirit, there's the world, the voices of the world, there's the old self, there's the enemy, Satan, and the principalities. It's a busy place. And if you go all day and you don't give recognition to the various different voices, and you think that all your good ideas of getting back and being mean and unkind is all from you, you don't know who you are. Right? If you're bitter or even sad sometimes, you know, like in a negative way, and you're like discontent or man, you don't know who you are. And in that moment, you need to purify yourself. Because your emotions are indicators, okay, that you are, okay, perhaps impure. All right? Let's look. That means your mind, something is now trying to dominate or reign, causing you to go into a, you know, emotional fit. 1 John 3:4, everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. If in that headspace, right, there's a law, the law of God, okay? So when God tells Moses, you know, before he comes into his presence, right, take off your sandals, for you're on what? Holy ground, right? The whole idea of all of that is to say, hey, like, leave your disobedience, okay, outside, right? You know, that's the old you, right? As you enter into God's space, that's obedience to the law of God. That's what we're entering into, right? So let's think about the second. Purification, we hit on this, is knowing who you are by knowing what you want, right? That's the whole reason God had the whole Israelites. He tested them to know so that they will know. God already knows. So that they would know what was in their hearts, both the evil or the lawlessness, right? And God's law and how they are at war. That's the main reason why God didn't give them a beeline into the promised land. And why would I say that? Let's take a look at 2 Timothy 2:22. So I can convince you from scripture. It says, so flee youthful passions. And we're going to define youthful passions, okay, a little bit later in the verse. It says, because, I mean, I've heard this verse talk about youthful passions meaning, you know, like lust or something like that. All right? Then no, this is really interesting. All right? So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, and love, and peace. It's this idea that fleeing and pursuing is what happens in a pure heart. And we're going to look at how that is combined. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So those who are calling upon the Lord from a pure heart are those who flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness. Okay? So, well, what is youthful passion? It says, have nothing to do with, okay? Folks, this is really important, right? And it's so relevant, especially, you know, nowadays, right? Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant, here's the thing, must. People, it's not an option. No matter how right you feel, how good your cause, you must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone. You will never, ever get permission from God not to be kind to everyone. You will always be required to allow your words to stand, okay? Stand in the kindness of your gesture. And if that doesn't work, you don't turn it up, okay? You don't take it up a notch, right? Because that's where you end, and that's where God begins. And if God is not beginning, then you need to what? Go to the next one. Able to teach, and it's what? Patiently enduring evil. Correcting his opponents with gentleness. That is the youthful passion, because when we're young, we'll take up a cause. We think we can destroy things as long as we're right. We think we can just lambast and shame just because we think we're right. I've seen that both on the left and on the right. And here's the thing. If you're a Christian, you have no business getting involved in something like that. That is not the gospel. That is the law of God. That is impurity. And so we have to be purified in our repentance through our commitment not to be like that. We think that being right on the right side of the issue gives us license for all manners of evil, right? All the things that come out of our mouths. And it's not true. Scripture says it's not true. Unless you think I'm twisting it, right? It says, flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Added peace. And we'll talk about that next week. Along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. If we're not engaging, right, in our society with each other in this fashion, we defile ourselves. Let's go on. Let's take a look at, right, 1 Timothy 1:5-7. Very important. The aim of our charge, what God wants from us, it's not to stand on all the right side of the issues. It's not that there isn't a right side or a left side. People, the charge, the aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart. That means we stay the course. Stay the course. We don't take license nor entitlement just because we think we're right. That's the law of sin. You understand that? When we lash out, shame, say mean things, right? When we do that, man, we defile ourselves. We can never come into fellowship with God. You know, people who are like that and think that they're religious is just self-righteous. And I'm talking about folks, pastors. I'm talking about me sometimes, right? In front of my children and family. That takes apology. That takes repentance. Certain persons, and this is now a description. We read this a couple weeks ago. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussion, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. You know what it is? Look, here's what I am saying to you. Those who talk the talk, but don't walk the walk, folks, don't listen to them. That's exactly what Paul's saying, right? Look, the aim of our charge is love. Look at these people. They're trying to talk the talk. They're trying to be all confident, you know, but they're violent, right? Or they're quarrelsome. They're, you know, I mean, look at them. Love, joy, peace, gentleness. These are not their ways. They are not their ways. And if you don't put a distance, okay, if you listen to that and you join that, you associate yourself with that, you are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. You come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King whom we serve. Our loyalty is to him. Not to a political party, not to a movement. Your loyalty is to him. And he requires us. Okay? He charges us with love. 1 Samuel 15:22. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. People, when God says this, when the word of God says it, right? Because here's what people are standing on something, even like great sacrifices, ceremonial, like expensive ceremonial burnt offerings, like in the way that the Pharisees did it. We're, you know, I mean, we all have Pharisee tendencies. You know what a Pharisee is? Anyone who would be standing on any kind of righteousness apart from true obedience to God's charge to love. It's really that simple. Matthew 15:10 says, and he called the people to him and said to them, hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth that makes them impure. That's what defile is, right? So what defiles you? Well, in that headspace, you know how you know what reigns? When it comes out of your mouth. When God says, don't let sin reign in you, what reigns is what comes out of your mouth. And if it's not gentle, if it's quarrelsome, spiteful, right? Violent. Let's not pretend, okay, like the Spirit of God is reigning up there. And don't expect neither your spouse nor your children to listen to that kind of nonsense. Look, if you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. Matthew 7:18. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Look, people who pretend to be right or righteous or have all these things, but they're not demonstrating good fruit, that is not a good tree. 1 John 3:2, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Wow. You know what that's saying? If you bank on him, if your hope, because in that moment, you're going with what is real, right? The reason you let people have it, the reason we resort to self-righteousness, because to you, that's what's real. I mean, turn the other cheek, give us, you know, until it hurts. I mean, these kinds of things, you know, you're not banking on this hope, right? You're not believing in God. because you're not even believing in who you are. You're going with your old identification. You identified yourself with the old ways, the old laws, right? The law of the flesh. You identified yourself with this parasite that's living inside of you. And when you do, what does it say? You're not, because God's children, right, is banking on God, who is himself pure, and we purify ourselves when we hope in him. In that moment, when those words seem so delicious and it wants to come out, if you let it out, sin will reign in you. You become defiled because you allow sin to reign. That's how it works. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. What great news. You know what freedom is? You know, before the gospel, I had no choice. You know, man, like I just had no choice. You know, like if the flesh just got fired up, boy, I let people have. You know, I remember just the arguments. I mean, divisive. Like, you know, there was a time I wanted to take apologetics courses. Oh, so I can really argue with the non-believers. You know, there was a time when, you know, like in the name of being right, I said all manners of evil to my wife. People. But if you're a new creation, you're no longer under that kind of bondage. You don't have to obey that law. You're free. Sin has no dominion over you, because you're now in under the rule and the reign of Christ. That's the good news. That's the gospel. So let's summarize. Number one, we purify ourselves by committing and recommitting to God's greatest law of earnest. That means intense and relentless and constant law. Okay? Law of earnest love through Jesus Christ. Through great crisis, this is really important, in those moments when there is war. When there is war. Right? So that's why I say great crisis and conflicts, that would have us relax. When the law of God just doesn't seem to be that important, and so the law of the flesh comes right out, whether it's through our actions or through our words. Number two, we purify ourselves by pursuing God's desire and will. Okay, so in the Lord's Prayer, that word, you know, thy will be done, that word will in Greek also means desire. So what we're saying is God's desire be done. So we pursue God's desire and will, knowing that this is our desire. We're praying, God, help me to want, in the sense, help the my truest desire, right? Help me to realize that what you want is what I want. Not that help me to want in the sense I don't want it right now and I need you to help me to want it. No, that's not the Lord's Prayer, nor that it should be your understanding. When God gave you a new heart, you want what God wants. If you're a Christian, but if you're a Christian and you always go with the flesh, and you just kind of go, what do you want? Do you really want to continue like to be spiteful? And you know what I mean? Like, do you really, are you going to go with that? Do you see people who are like that and you like admire that? Like, no, like don't, right? Things, we want what God wants. We want to honor those who God honors. Like, we want to emulate those whom God wants us to emulate, because you're different. And if you don't understand that, you don't know who you are. And so we purify ourselves, according to Scripture, by pursuing, fleeing those other desires where what? What's the youthful passion? Well, it's the flesh. It's the old ways, right? Where what? The old ways comes out of our mouths and our actions. So we flee from that and we pursue righteousness, which is what? What God wants, which is the law of God of love. All right? And so this is how we know and remind ourselves of who we are in Christ, a new creation with a new heart. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you for your word. We just have so much hope, God. You gave us so much hope. God, you gave us a new heart. God, we want to be discerning, God. Just the voices that are out just in our members, in that headspace, God. And I pray for our church, Lord, those who have had the identity crisis, those who do not know what they want, those who feel so right, God, right, allowing all manners, God, of impurities come out of their mouths. God, we are not without hope. God, I just pray now you would grant all of us repentance. God, that we will now, God, just plead for you to reign in our minds. Just reign, Lord. Reign in us. Reign in us, God. God, that our fruits, God, with our mouths, God, with our actions, God, we would honor you as Lord and King. God, so help us this week, God, to be just encouraging. God, help us this week, God, to be generous and giving. And God, help us to flee from quarrelsomeness. Help us to flee, God, from self-righteousness. God, help us to reject those things. And help us, to hold on to, God, our new identity. God, as those, God, who pursue righteousness according to your law. In Jesus' name, amen.